You know that moment when you sit in front of the TV to watch something and then the announcer pipes up? We're bringing you a change to the scheduled programme. Well, it's a bit like that today. Those of you who were hoping to hear the lovely George, as Louise would say, will be disappointed to know that he can't be here today. He's been quite poorly at home this week and with a non-COVID, but nevertheless relentless cough. And he's managed to put together a few thoughts of his favourite passages of scripture that have inspired him over the years. And I will do my best to relay these thoughts to you and pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you through his words. It will come as no surprise to those who know him that the parable of the prodigal son is his favourite illustration of the love of God. The parable told by Jesus in Luke chapter 15 was considered by Charles Dickens to be the best short story he had ever read, and he knew a thing or two about stories. It has everything and could provide at least six good episodes of EastEnders or Coronation Street. Although today I'll be bringing you thoughts that George has on another passage of scripture in Philippians, I'll start by just underlining what it was that hit him most about the parable of the prodigal son. And it was the truth that whoever you are and whatever you've done in your past, you are loved and you are forgiven if you turn to your loving Father. No ifs, no buts. You're loved and you're forgiven. There are still many people who need to hear and believe that unchanging truth today. However, the passage he really wants to look at in more detail this morning is one that he has found particularly helpful during the past 18 months of COVID and comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. And it says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again." Sorry, I'm confused by the beginning of the verse there. I'll just read what I have written. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And so I continue on in George's own words. Are you anxious? Are you a worrier? Mark Twain said on his deathbed, "I spent a lot of my life worrying about many things, most of which never happened." We can spend a lot of time worrying about the what-ifs of life. And Mark Twain was right that most of these what-ifs don't happen. But what is it that causes us to be worried and anxious? Fear. Fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of almost anything. And yet what is the most commonly repeated command in Scripture? Do not be afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid, and he tells us so time after time. It's a big deal for God. Jesus himself tells us not to be afraid 16 times. This is important stuff. Imagine never worrying about anything. It seems like an impossibility. We all have our worries about our jobs, our homes, our children, our parents, our relationships, our possessions, or the lack of any of those things. But let us look again at Paul's advice in Philippians 4, verse 6. His advice is not to dwell on our worries, but to turn them into prayer. "Do you want to worry less?" he says. "Then pray more." Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. He is saying that anxiety and prayer should be opposites, And prayer should always include thanksgiving, because our faith is strengthened when we think about what God has already done for us, and it can refocus our thoughts. And what does Paul say happens when we replace worry with prayer? In verse 7 it says, "And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus." We receive God's gift of the peace that transcends all understanding to replace our fear and anxiety. True peace is not merely a human effort at positive thinking. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's not just a feeling of contentment. True, godly peace is a gift that transcends our circumstances in ways we don't understand. It's not dependent on what is happening to us, but rather dependent on whether we're focused on God or on ourselves. George says, "My own experience some years ago when I underwent heart bypass surgery is testament to this truth." And the peace that we both experienced during that difficult time was amazing and unnatural. Nevertheless, most of us worry, and this isn't a talk to make people feel bad about worrying, but it is an attempt to encourage each of us to turn to prayer as soon as a worrying thought appears. None of this is easy, and it's true that some of us are more prone to worry than others. It may be tempting to think, "Oh, it's all right for those who aren't natural worriers, but I am who I am and I can't help it," which is true. But the reality is that we can and we do change. We can and we do grow, because none of us are the same people that we were 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. We change, we grow, we learn, we adapt. Growing can be a slow process, but with God's help, it's possible over time to adopt new ways of thinking and to worry less. And remember, Paul tells us how immediately turn the worry into a prayer. So how do we go about the process of worrying less and trusting God more? Well, the final verse in this passage gives us this advice. "In conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable." Different versions of scripture offer alternatives. Think about these things. Dwell on these things. Meditate on these things. Fix your thoughts on these things. Cherish these things. Don't stop thinking about these things. That's quite a challenge. This is really telling us to just focus on the good stuff. George continues, "Whenever I read this verse, I am inspired by the memory of my good friend, Alan Mackey." Alan was Louise Taplin's dad, and sadly, he passed away 10 years ago. But the influence that he had on those that knew him was immense. After many years of believing and trusting in God, including serving as a missionary in Madagascar, he spent the last 8 years of his life in a wheelchair after an accident left him paralyzed from the shoulders down. His whole life changed. He became totally dependent on others and was often in great pain. He could easily have given up and lost all his faith in God, but he didn't. Instead, he told George and many others that he wasn't going to focus on the many things he could no longer do, but focus on the things that he could do and make the most of them, which he did. And in the process, he inspired George, myself, many others. This is what this verse is all about. Focus on the good stuff. Alan could still think and speak, and he made the most of it with a powerful preaching ministry and words of witness to his many carers. Finally, with George's permission, I offered a little addition of my own here for the tech savvy amongst you. I've often found that the internet can provide wonderful images for verses of scripture. You often find if you Google a certain scripture, you'll get a lovely image comes up. You might find you end up buying a t-shirt or a set of coasters or a t-shirt or whatever to go with it. But I just find that these images are helpful. I found it helpful to save an image on my home screen of my phone or my laptop so that it regularly flashes up in front of me to remind me of some scriptural truth or promise. To show you a few examples, I've put together this short presentation using some of the verses from this morning's reading. Let these verses wash over you as you take inspiration and encouragement from George's reminders this morning, which are to turn worry into prayer, particularly prayer of thanksgiving. When we realize how much we have to be thankful for, it changes our perspective. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the good stuff and focus on God. We can change.